And you worship him so beautifully. I'm glad I was able to come and join you in this worship service in this time of chapel. Someone asked me if I have been to the Philippines before, and I even have been to a chapel before. It was in another building somewhere, but I did join the chapel of APNTS in 2011. My first time to the Philippines was in 1989. I wish I had met more Nazarenes when I came here in 89. I came for a conference. It was the Lausanne 2 that some of you may remember. And at the end, almost the end of the conference, I met the then regional director who was based here in Manila. And then he was able to gather a few Nazarenes. By that time, I was already committed to attend a Salvation Army church on a Sunday, the only Sunday that we had here during the conference. But later on, God blessed me with the opportunity to come and fellowship with my Nazarene brothers and sisters. So I have good memories of being here in the Philippines. I love history. And if you do, too, you will understand my love. History. According to the history, in the year 40 before Christ, a prominent leader in the world decided to pick one special way to prove to his colleagues in Rome that he was the leader. That leader was Julius Caesar. And he went up to parts of Europe that we now know, or the Middle East, should say, that we now know as Turkey. And he faced a battle. A battle that he knew he was going to win. He won the battle. And he sent a message to Rome, to his colleague in the Senate. And the message was very short, but very powerful. Three words he used to say, Vini, Vidi, Vinci. I arrived, I've seen, and I have conquered. I won. He didn't send the message directly to his colleagues, but to a friend of his, whom he knew was going to pass the message to his colleagues. Once they heard the message, they realized that this fellow is about something. He's trying to prove something. He really was. When he returned to Rome, he was the emperor. And you know that so many things have changed since then. Even the title of an emperor in Rome was changed to Caesar. And so many other things. Well, from republic to empire, and from a few things to other few things, a lot of change took place in Rome and beyond. We are not always comfortable with changes. But I believe that nowadays there are more people waiting for changes than people who do not like change. In a world when we realize that technology has taken over And technology is changing so quick and so well. We all are waiting and looking forward for the next change. What is it that this thing is going to bring to us? We have been using it for a while and we like it, but we just wish it did something else more than what it is already doing. Changes. We really like changes. Now, I have a passage for us that is from another kind of history. It is the church's history. And there is a prominent person in this story that I would like us to look into and see how he allowed God to use him to change the church. The passage is in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26. And if you would stand with me, I like when church stands for the reading of the scriptures. And I trust you do too. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of these reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You may be seated. I know this is a time of transition here at APNTS. And I praise God for the way He's leading this institution through transition. And I trust that you, like me and many others, are hopeful about what the transition is going to bring to the school, to this great school that is much loved and appreciated by the entire denomination. And sometimes God uses individuals to bring about changes, to bring about transition. In this particular case, change in the church was more than just a change of a president. It was more than election of a board. It was more than the restructuring of a school. It was the sea change for the church. Thanks to the change that happened then, you and I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks to that, you and I are able to be part of the mission of God to the world today. We read in this passage that up to that point, the gospel was shared only with the Jews, because they all thought that the gospel was exclusive to the Jews. No one else needed the gospel. But some, it says, however, some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene. Imagine that. It didn't take the whole leadership, the whole church, but just some of them. And some of them who were not from Jerusalem, some of them who were not from the headquarters of the church, some of them who were from Cyprus and Cyrene, started doing something different. They started sharing the gospel of Jesus with those who were not Jews. And the word says that the Lord was with them. And a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Then the news arrives in Jerusalem, and the leaders hear about the change that was happening. And I can imagine some of them nervous about the change. They did not know what to do with it. So someone came up with a motion. Let us send one of us. Barnabas is a good man. He is a man of peace. He is an encourager. Let him go and see what is happening there. And Barnabas went to Antioch. And he arrives in Antioch. He sees something in Antioch. He conquered something in Antioch, like what Julius Caesar did. He did send the message back to Jerusalem, not to say, I am the one. I am taking over. The message he sent to Jerusalem was, brothers, let us accept this that the Lord is doing. It is him who is leading the church. It is not about me. It's not about Peter. It's not about John. It's not about any apostle. It's not about us. It is about him. Let's embrace this which the Lord is doing. Why am I talking about changes today? Not only because you are in transition here, but because I believe that God is changing his church. And some of us are nervous about the changes that are taking place. I'm not at ease with things that come from outside, trying to change the church. I'm concerned about some things that seem to come to change the church. You may have heard what is going on with some of our sister denominations in the world. And you probably are as nervous as I am with what is happening with some denominations in the world. Thanks to the stand of a few, the change is not sweeping the whole denomination, but there is change. Sad change. So I am not here to say that we should be open to those kinds of changes, but I'm here to say that there are changes that are coming from God, and he will be using people who are not from Jerusalem, people who do not have an office in Lenexa, Kansas, United States of America, for the Church of the Nazarene, people who may not have a title in the Church of the Nazarene, people who have not been elected to any office in the Church of the Nazarene. But God is looking for people who are obedient, who are willing to listen to him, and he is going to use them to change the church, to change the way we do mission, to change the way we come to each other and try to help each other and try to find ways we can accomplish the mission together. The news arrived in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas. What did Barnabas see in Antioch? This passage says, not that he saw eloquent people, not that he saw people who were gifted in what they did, and he probably saw all of those things. Not that the church was doing what was programmed, what Jerusalem had expected the church to do. The word says that he saw the grace of God. The grace of God. Julius Caesar saw potential for him to win, for him to gather just a few with him and become the emperor. He saw all the resources that were available for him to become the emperor, and he did become the emperor. Barnabas saw the grace of God. It is amazing what happens when we see the grace of God. And we acknowledge the fact that it is by the grace of God that some wonderful changes take place in the church of God. When we see the grace of God and we acknowledge that it is the grace of God, there is nothing else we can do but spread the grace of God. Years ago, I was in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. That is the Horn of Africa. We were there for a conference, a church conference, Nazarene conference. And a few of us were interested in visiting a church, an Orthodox church, Ethiopian Orthodox Church, in the center of Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. So we went. And as we arrived outside the church, we saw many people who did seem to be religious. They did look to me very religious people. They were bending towards the temple and they were kissing the wall of the temple, but we were told that they were not allowed inside the temple. They had to do what they wanted to do outside of the temple. However, tourists were allowed inside. So as tourists, we had the privilege of walking inside the temple. A priest was there and he took us for a tour. And after the tour, at the end of it, he had a book to sell, and I believe he really wanted to sell his book. But besides that, he said, this is a place where the only place in here that you are not allowed to go in. He and others believe that the Ark of the Covenant is there in the center of that sanctuary. You are not allowed to go in. But then he stopped and he said, may I ask you a question? Who are you? All seven of us were ministers of God, children of God. And we promptly answered, we were waiting for an opportunity to say something about God in us. So we said, we are ministers of God. And he looked at us and said, I could tell. The moment you walked in, it was as if a wave of grace filled this place. When you have the grace of God, it's not about you, it's about God. But when the grace of God is in you, is with you, when you see the grace of God, and when it is yours by His grace, there's no way you can hide it. If you don't have it, there's no way you can show it. But if you have it, there's no way you can hide it. God makes it visible to all. Well, Barnabas went to Antioch and he saw the grace of God at work. When we realize that it's not us, it's the grace of God at work, then we are open to whatever God is up to. We are open to what God wants to do for His church and through His church. What did he do? He encouraged them. In fact, the name Barnabas means the encourager, the one who encourages others. And he encouraged them. The description that we have of this man of God is that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. In my Bible, Portuguese, my Portuguese Bible, I read that he was a man made of good. Isn't that beautiful? He is made of good. It is the goodness of God that makes us anew. And people realize that we are made out of the goodness of God. Not good as we are quick to characterize people. I find it funny that sometimes when people have something to say about someone, and that something is not very good, you know the way they start? So-and-so is a good man. So-and-so is a good lady. But, good but. They don't start with, he did this and that, but he is good or she is good, but. Here we read that he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That is what made him good. It is the presence of God. It is the Holy Spirit in him that made him good. Have you tried to fill something of something else that you believe needs to be in? And then you realize that there is some other things that do not want to come out. You want air in and there is liquid in, or you want liquid in and then there is air in, and you try hard to take out all the air that doesn't need to be there, or all the liquid that doesn't need to be there, because you want what you need in there. When I read of Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit, I think of a believer, a son of God, a daughter of God, who allows God to fill him or her with the Holy Spirit in such a way that there is no room for what is not right, for what does not belong, for what God doesn't want to be in him or her. And because he was such a good man, a great number were brought to the Lord by his ministry. Praise the Lord. Now God is looking for people who are willing to be used like Barnabas. And he may be looking for people just like you, who are willing to be used by God, to be good like Barnabas, to allow God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and faith so that he may use you. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. That was his mission. Look for Saul. Don't you like that? He realized that this thing is huge. This thing is not just what I'm seeing here. It's going to go beyond Antioch. It's going to reach the utmost part of the world. So I need help. I need someone along me. And he looked for Saul. He knew Saul. And he knew that God had promised that he was going to use Saul. So he went and looked for him. And he found him. I'm reading from the scripture. And he brought him to Antioch. We cannot do this alone. You and I cannot do it alone. We need partners. We need fellow laborers in the kingdom of God. We need those who have been called by God as we have been. Some of them are ministers. Some of them are lay people. It doesn't matter. God is calling all of us to his mission. And we just need to go find them and take them to our Antioch and allow God to use them. I went to Kenya years back in a mission, and I heard a story from a friend that I made on that trip. His name is Fred. Fred told me that one day, it was a Monday, after a nice weekend, he was up to his normal week. So he took a minivan, the ones that the Japanese make for 12 people. And in Africa, we can put close to 30 people in, just because there's always room for one more person. I don't know if you do that here in the Philippines. But he jumped into this minivan, and it was clear that there was no room for more than one more. But he was singing, and he was happy. He couldn't stay still. And a lady next to him said, "Sir, would you please be still? There is no room for more than one of you." And, "Oh, sorry, ma'am, but I cannot help it. I have to sing." And he sang. And then he stood because he wanted to dance. And there was no room for him to dance in the minivan. And he jumped, and he had to sing anyway. And the lady asked him, what is making you so happy?" And his answer was, "Tomorrow." "Oh, it's not yesterday, it's not today, it is tomorrow. What is it that is going to happen tomorrow?" He arrived at the place where he had a meeting, walked into the board room, and the directors were all around the table waiting for him to present the case. He had papers under his arm, and he laid the papers on the big table, and they looked at the paper, and he was an architect, and he had a plan to present to them. And one of the directors asked him, "Fred, what is your best project ever?" And he said, "My best project is the next one." Well, the director wanted him to say, "This is the best." But he was always looking forward to something else. So he said, "It is the next one." When we are excited about what God is doing now, we cannot wait for the next one. We know that there is a next one. We know that it's going to happen. We know, and if we know that we are going to be a part of the next one, we cannot help it but be excited. Friends, I do hope you are excited. I hope you are excited about what God is doing and excited about what God is going to do. Julius Caesar arrived. He saw. He conquered. Barnabas arrived. Also saw and conquered. You are made to also arrive and see and conquer. Those who arrive are the people who are willing to pay the price so that it may happen. Many are in the journey, but they do not make it for various reasons. They have checked in, they have passed the security, they have boarded the plane, they have taken off, they have experienced the turbulence or the travel anxiety, but they are not arriving. They do not know how to arrive. By the grace of God, we can arrive. It doesn't matter where exactly. What matters is that we arrive where God wants us to arrive. If we are not lost, we will arrive. If we are not weary, we will arrive. And it is by the grace of God that we will be able to arrive. Barnabas was sent to Antioch to connect Jerusalem with Antioch, to connect Jerusalem with the church, the Gentiles. He was obedient, and God used him. I pray you are too obedient. I do not know your dreams, but I know you have dreams. I do not know exactly where you think you will be a year from now, maybe 2, 3, or more years from now. But you are dreaming. Keep on dreaming. But dream the dreams of God. Ask God to give you his dreams. Dream and go where he sends you, and you will see his grace, and you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others. May God bless you as an individual and the church as a whole, and this dear school as a school that is training people for the mission of God. Whatever part you have in that mission of God, do it well, and do it as one who is full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Would you please stand with me for a word of prayer?